Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst, and I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing, and we invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. Last week, we were studying the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 to 21. Beware of covetousness. In the text, Jesus gave us several warnings about the dangers of covetousness. The first warning we looked at was, covetousness damages relationships. There was a man in the crowd listening to Jesus, and he asked Jesus to intervene in a situation with his brother. His request showed that he placed greater value on money and things than he did on his relationship with his brother. He was willing to sacrifice that relationship with his brother in order to get what he thought rightfully belonged to him. Now, as we closed the program last week, I introduced a second warning about covetousness. It distorts reality. But we didn't have time to look at that warning, so that's where we'll pick up our study today. But first, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 to 21. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully." And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" You know, there are many sins that damage or destroy relationships and preclude entrance into God's presence. Do you have relationships that are being damaged by your focus on material things? Do others see you as one who puts things before relationships? Jesus reminds us it is a very foolish thing to make those kinds of mistakes. The second warning is that covetousness distorts reality. It distorts reality because it gives the illusion that the value of life is measured by possessions. That's what drives our whole manufacturing, consumer-oriented culture. It's a distortion we must resist because it produces a focus on the present at the expense of an eternal perspective. This man who came to Jesus, asking him to settle his inheritance issues, saw his financial loss as the main problem. Success, in his eyes, was having tangible assets, even if that meant losing his relationship with his brother. And the rich farmer also had a distorted view of reality. He thought that his abundance guaranteed his security. He could now, quote, retire and live off his abundance. Isn't that what most people in North America look forward to? That mentality is understandable for unbelievers. But sadly, many professing Christians have the same ideas and goals. Notice with me the contrast between the rich man's view of reality and God's view. The rich man said, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years." God said, "Fool, tonight the messengers of God will demand your soul." I knew of a doctor who was in his late 40s, and he had amassed a retirement account of well over $1 million. But he still wasn't sure he had enough. Before he had a chance to enjoy any of it, he had a heart attack and was called to meet his maker, just like the rich man in our text. He had no security. And as far as I know, he did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our text tells us the rich man devoted a lot of thought to his newfound prosperity. He had more resources than he could store. So he asked a question. What should I do? This was the pivotal question. How different would it be if he had decided to store what he could in his granaries and share the rest? How many relationships could have been established by his generosity? How many people could he have blessed? What reward could he have received from the Lord? But he made the wrong choice. He thought his increased harvest mandated increased storage. And many businessmen today, Christians and non-Christians alike, would compliment him on his good business sense. Many would say he was a good steward for thinking ahead like he did. But you know something? That wasn't Jesus' conclusion. Now don't misunderstand me and conclude that expanding a business is always wrong. That's just not true. What really matters is your motivation. I would say, beware of those who say the right words, but whose actions demonstrate their true value system. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a man who has a successful family-operated business. I asked him how things were going, and he said, "We have a greater demand for our product than we can supply." So I asked him, "Do you have plans to expand the business?" And he said, "No, our needs are being met, and we have resources to share. If we expand, that would mean acquiring more equipment and bringing in hired help. We don't need the extra pressures that would bring. We're content with God's provision." You know, his response was a great blessing to me. I want you to notice the focus of the rich man's thoughts. It was all about him. Look at how many times the personal pronouns I and my are used in these verses. He had gotten ahead in the world, like we say, and now he needed a lifestyle to go with his wealth. He needed status. One reason people pursue status is for acceptance. Each of us has a need to be accepted, a need to belong, a need to be valued. But again, seeking acceptance through status is just as irrational as seeking security in possessions, because people are notoriously fickle. Acceptance based on status can be changed or even lost overnight. The rich man's conclusion was that because of his wealth, he should take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. As far as I know, one cannot be merry by himself, so the rich man was probably thinking about all the people who would flock to his parties. He most likely didn't think about it that they would only be fair-weather friends. They didn't really value or appreciate him as a person. They only were interested in the good times he could provide. My friend, what does your version of reality look like? Are you aware that who you are and what you have is a result of God's mercy? Do you understand that the resources God has entrusted to your care are to be used for the blessing of others and for His glory? Do you realize also that you have no promise of tomorrow, not even for the rest of today? When your soul is required of you, will you be able to leave with no regrets? Let me encourage you to read Psalm 49 for a clearer vision of reality. The final warning, then, is covetousness determines rewards. Jesus called this man fool. And let me assure you, my friend, there will be no fools in heaven. A fool is one who either says there is no God or whose lifestyle communicates the same message. This rich farmer thought only of the present and the near future, not about his eternal destiny and the consequences of his choices. So God asked him a simple and yet profound question. These things you stored up for yourself, whose will they become now? What is all this accumulated stuff worth when you stand before the judge of all the earth? Psalm 39:6 reminds us, surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather it. Psalm 49:10 also tells us that fools perish and leave their wealth to others. You know, there are many illustrations of this truth in Scripture. Later in Luke's Gospel is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And do you remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? He went away with great sorrow when Jesus told him to sell what he had and give to the poor. His response proved he was not sincere in his desire for eternal life. Matthew chapter 25, the sheep and the goats are separated based on their treatment of the least of these. My friend, the choices you and I are making now will have an impact on our eternal rewards. Jesus said, those who lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God are fools. They are fools because they have embraced a distorted view of reality. They believe that the way to gain is to hold tightly to what they already have. They believe that what they have is a measure of their success, their personal worth. They believe that somehow they can take the credit for their achievements. But in the end, their folly will be exposed. Those who lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God willingly damage relationships for the sake of accumulating more possessions or a higher position. And in the process, they cut themselves off from the purpose for which they were created. Don't make that mistake, my friend. And finally, your rewards will be based on how faithful you were in the stewardship God entrusted to you. Generosity will lead to greater rewards, while stinginess will lead to a loss of rewards. I urge you, take these warnings to heart, and beware of covetousness. You and those around you will be glad you did.
My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Beware of Covetousness. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. It's available on audio CD or in print. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week to Hope for Today. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.